Welcome everyone to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Back in the saddle here for another episode of Major League Baseball. Full week of baseball. I'm excited. It's always exciting when we have day baseball to get us through the day here, but we'll get into the Friday night card here. Obviously, give out our best bets for the Friday card. Got a promo for you guys as well. And we will hopefully continue winning for this season coming off of our last episode. But joining me here to help me break everything down on the diamond and hopefully give out some more winners, I got my guy here with me. It's Griffin Warner. Griffin, my man, how are you doing this Thursday evening, my friend?
I'm doing great. Glad to join you in the win column as we swept the car with a 2-0 in our last episode recorded Sunday night. It's been a while since we've seen each other, but you know, it's I also got a game to make up because you're perfect 2-0 so far to start this podcast. I'm just a lowly 1-1 picking up probably a portion of a unit just from two underdogs.
Yeah, it's a team effort around here. So overall, we'll call it 3-1 for the podcast here. Yeah, but again, a great start here for the pod as we are lucky. Like Griffin mentioned, 3-1. Quickly recapping what we gave out for the Monday games. Griffin had the plus money price on the Detroit Tigers going up against the could have been one of two teams that would have been winless coming into the pod here tonight, but they did come from behind in the second game of the doubleheader. Did the Mets, they got the victory today. But more importantly, the Tigers took care of business for Griffin's best bet against the Mets. 5-0 victory there behind a solid pitching performance out there by the Detroit Tigers. And the funny part of this was, Griffin, is that this game was 0-0 going into extra innings. Indeed. And the Detroit Tigers put up 5 in the top of the 10th, and they got the job done against the Mets. Something similar to what we saw in game one of the doubleheader on Thursday, if people were watching that. But yeah, easy winner there, 5-0 in extras. And then I took the over in the Dodgers and the Giants game. And this one was a little bit dicey. I'll admit it was 3-0 going into the sixth inning, but you know, bullpens as bad as they have been to start the season for some of these teams. And the Dodgers offense just keeps on churning out runs. Ended up as a final score of 8-3 in that game. So, 2-0 start for me. 3-1 overall for the pod here, so we can continue hopefully finding some more winners for you guys as far as our best bet goes for the Friday card. Griffin, quickly, I was venting a little bit about my Astros and how they got swept in their opening series against the New York Yankees at home going 0-4-4. And then the next day, they just casually come out with Ronald Blanco on the mound and just he throws a no-hitter and the Astros get their first victory in convincing fashion, 10-0 there. I'm not sure if you caught that game or that. Obviously, I'm sure you saw that no-hitter.
I did.
Incredible performance there by Blanco for the Astros getting the no-hitter there, Griffin.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to catch many Astros games. I'm blacked out on MLB TV. I will watch them and find some way through probably a site I can't mention just because we want to keep everything above board for RJ Bell's stream preview on the pregame.com network. But unless I have a bet on it, I'm not like going crazy to look for it. But yeah, thought about back in the Blue Jays that day. Very happy I did not. I've had a really tough run. The last year, the only time I backed the Oakland Athletics, they got perfect gamed, not even no hit, like the worst possible thing. And when they put the stat out there, the last perfect game, I actually had bet the other team in the last perfect game as well. It was the Tampa Bay Rays on the road at Seattle, I think, with Felix Hernandez way back when. So pretty good scenario for me to get to be against the last two perfect games in Major League Baseball. Trying not to do that this year, and I think my avoid Oakland strategy is going to hopefully pay off in that direction. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge way to get your first win of the season for the Astros. I mean, good thing the Mets played two games today so they could finally get a first win, though it had been two rainouts, a series, then two, a loss, then two rainouts, a loss in extra innings, as you mentioned. I wouldn't have called it a very easy win despite the 5-0 finish. I think the Tigers had two hits in the first 9 innings and then exploded in the 10th thanks to an error ultimately. But I'll take it. And I think the Mets, I mean, you could say they got the monkey off their back, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's tough times right now if you are indeed a New York Mets fan. It did take them in the bottom of the 9th in game 2 of the doubleheader on Thursday to get their first victory of the season, which now, Griffin, in the same division, leads us with one team as of Thursday evening that has not recorded a win for this season, and that is the lowly Miami Marlins, who are currently 0-8 in their first 8 games of this season. And they got more bad news this morning, I should say, where they will now be without Yuri Perez, who has going to be undergoing Tommy John surgery. And he was one of the more exciting guys I was excited about for this Marlins rotation. They're already without Sandy, who's also going to be missing majority of this season, if not all of it, with TJ surgery. So just not good times right now, which could have been a very, very promising starting rotation for this Marlins team here, Griffin, but not good times right now if you are a Miami Marlins fan.
Not at all, especially after maybe there was some confidence, momentum potentially built after somehow finding a way into the playoffs despite a negative run differential last season, if I remember correctly. And then now it sounds like Jesus Luzardo, their opening day starter, is on the trading block and might get traded to San Diego, which feels a little early to give up on the season. But I guess at 0-8, chasing the Braves is probably not a division win at any point. So maybe you got to prepare for the future.
Yeah, 100%. I would expect more trades, yeah, coming from the Miami Marlins, as well as they have started 0-8 for this season. Griffin, anything else you've noticed around the MLB this week that you want to mention before we get into the games for the Friday card?
I mean, I'm looking forward to us getting onto a more normal type of schedule. We still have a bunch of early games as there's a lot of, I guess, sort of season openers or season opening series going on over this card. We miss a couple games from our normal 15 game slate, but you know, I'm just looking forward to it. It's nice because I bet college basketball, which is 360 something teams. I'm on the college basketball podcast for pregame with AJ Hoffman. I do soccer, the top 5 European soccer leagues, and that's usually 100 teams. So I'm really looking forward to 30 teams and only having to manage so few of them over the summer. Looking forward to that as it feels like a nice little time off, and I might be able to actually sleep for on occasion.
Significant change going from 300 plus teams in college and 100 plus European across 5 leagues to 30 teams in the baseball season. So that might just feel like a very light workload for you. But yeah, you may quickly want to mention this, that I found this very, very interesting that 3 teams in the American League East started their first 2 series on the road. That was the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Toronto Blue Jays. And, you know, those fans had to wait at least 1 week before they get their home opener, which will be this weekend, both the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays as well. So let's just start it there, talking about this Yankees for the Friday card here. They are having their home opener, which is going to be the first game on the Friday night schedule. Sorry, the Friday schedule, I should say, some day baseball to get us through the working day for Friday. A 1:05 Eastern start. The Yankees are hosting the Blue Jays. So Blue Jays starting on the road here again. They have to wait for their home opener. But right now I see Kikuchi is going to get the start here for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Marcus Stroman going up against his former team in the Toronto Blue Jays, starting for the New York Yankees in their home opener here. Currently on DraftKings Sportsbook, I am seeing the Yankees are a -155 home favorite here, Griffin, with a +130 money line price on the Toronto Blue Jays. Total is set at 8.5 with juice towards the over at -115 here, Griffin. I will mention this, you know, going from NBA, I think I mentioned this on the last pod, that I got to start checking these weather reports because it is going to be a cold day at Yankee Stadium, but winds right now look like they're going to be blowing around 13 to 14 miles per hour into right field here, Griffin. But what are we thinking about the Blue Jays and the Yankees here?
So I'm trying to figure out what my opinions are about the Yankees right now. What was against them in the last two games, the Diamondbacks series, felt like the D-backs were should not have been underdogs at home, but were, and were in good position to win both of those games, but only ended up getting one of them in convincing fashion, lost the second in extra innings, and I won't get into my opinions of the umpire in that game. However, I think the big question for me, Marcus Stroman, I was kind of surprised the Yankees went for him because he keeps the ball down, but that only works for so long. And a lot of times if your sinker is not literally being pounded into the ground, you are a big, big liability, or you have a lot of weaknesses, especially in a small ballpark like in the Bronx in Yankee Stadium. Now, the weather certainly will hurt the ball flying. And I think you say Kikuchi has some trouble with keeping the ball in the yard potentially on a hot day because he's more of a fly ball pitcher than Stroman, certainly. But I feel like Kikuchi has a lot more swing and miss in his game. And that's really something I try to back when I'm betting baseball games. I'm looking for this almost exact scenario, an underdog who should strike out more than the favorite. I don't love it's on the road, but that's usually how this works. You don't get a lot of home underdogs, unfortunately, unless the teams are really bad, Oakland Athletics type level. And so my thought and my lean really is the Toronto Blue Jays at this point. I don't love their lineup setup and really their strategy and kind of how they've built their team with pretty much every son of a former big leaguer that we've all heard of, which definitely makes me feel old, but I'm trying to keep that to the side. I'm curious to see how Stroman performs. He's a great pitcher and honestly was a pretty good underdog play himself, but we're getting into pretty lofty territory here for what looks like, I mean, an early season start relying on contact, and that probably will play better on April 5th than it will on July 5th. But I think Kikuchi's the only side I want here, that plus 130.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at last season, two starts for Kikuchi at Yankee Stadium were absolutely brilliant. He pitched 11 innings and two starts last year, allowed 8 hits and only 2 earned runs in those spots, 10 strikeouts to no walks. I think the one concern that I would have about Kikuchi is that this lineup last season for the Yankees looked very, very different than what they are right now, right? And obviously that bottom of the lineup as well. And I think Juan Soto just changes so much for, I mean, any lineup that if you put that guy into, whether it's leadoff or whether it's in the two hole. And I've had trouble with Kikuchi because when I start to believe in him, he comes out and gives up 4 or 5 runs within the first couple innings. And then when I don't have faith in him, he'll go out there and look like a Cy Young caliber pitcher. His first start was against the Rays in Tampa, where he did allow 3 earned runs in the 4 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 4 strikeouts to 3 walks here. I think that the Yankees do come out and play well here. I think they're going to be able to get to Kikuchi. But at minus the, and like you mentioned, right, this price right now on the Yankees at minus 155 behind Stroman is not something I do want to get behind, which would probably lean me towards a Yankees team total to go over in this game, whether it's in the first 5 innings or full game. Do expect that number to be around 2.5 for the first 5 innings and 4.5 for the first, for the full game there. So I think they should have some success against Kikuchi in this game. So don't love that minus 155 price on Stroman, but I do think they can get runs in this game against Kikuchi is what I'm trying to say for the New York Yankees. So I'll go with it that way. Next game on the schedule here, we have a 1:10 Eastern start here, Griffin. It's going to be the Oakland A's. They are in Detroit to take on the 5-1 Tigers. Tigers are a minus 245 favorite with Tarik Skubal getting the start here for the Tigers. Plus 200 on the money line for the Oakland A's, who will send out J.P. Sears. Total is set at 7.5 with juice towards the under at minus 118. Here, Griffin, and again, two teams that we both expected that will be going in opposite directions this season. This is going to be the game for the Tigers, which will be their home opener. They are 5-1 to start the season, where, like I mentioned, all 6 of their games are on the road. And for the Oakland A's, they are finishing their opening 2 series at home. They already have a minus 29 run differential to the Oakland A's, as expected, though. I mean, we didn't expect a lot from this Oakland A's team here, Griffin. But what do we think about this game, Tarik Skubal versus J.P. Sears?
Yeah, Sears. I think the only Spears are out for the Oakland Athletics ownership for now, I guess, agreeing to play in Sacramento for 3 years, which, wow. I mean, you could really make a whole day out of maybe an early season day game for the Sacramento Athletics and then go over to Sacramento Kings game or something like that, I guess, if you really want to see the sights out in North Central California, I guess. I don't have a lot to say about this one. Sears seems like a fly ball pitcher in Detroit. That's one of the best places to do it. I guess that would make me feel that there's a good chance that he can keep a Detroit Tigers lineup relatively quiet. I was pretty unimpressed despite backing the first game of the doubleheader today and then that extra innings win on Monday, two days with rainouts in between. But this is a pretty quick turnaround for the Tigers. I mean, I was very unimpressed with their lineup, despite getting two wins and the two bets I made, which was really nice. But I think they are one of those teams that look like, pardon me for making the pun, but a paper tiger at this point. With that said, I think Tarek Skubal throws really well. I don't really want to back Oakland, as the last time I did, they got perfect gamed. I feel like my interest here is in that under 7.5, and most unders that I'm advocating for, I would probably play the first half under and try to avoid the Manfred men if the case just somehow, some way, this game goes into extra innings.
Yeah, I think that you take a look at this Oakland A's team, and again, like you mentioned, I don't want any part of them, but this is, I think, a tough spot, like you mentioned, coming off of the doubleheader for the Detroit Tigers, where both games, the first game went into extra innings. Yep. And then they were walked off in the bottom of the ninth there against the Mets. So I definitely, again, have the better pitcher. JP Sears just didn't have a great start against the Cleveland Guardians in his first start back on Saturday. 3 2/3, gave up 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, only 1 strikeout, 1 hit, 1 batter he did hit. But I still think that the Tigers can get to him here. Again, it will be the run line here for me for the Detroit Tigers at 1.5 at -110. Right now, you could get that over on FanDuel. The time to back the Oakland A's will be on Saturday because looking ahead a little bit, it is Paul Blackburn getting the start.
All right.
So it'll be the first 5 innings in that game for me. But as far as a Friday game, the early start, I will be on the Detroit Tigers. -1.5 with Tarek Skubal on the mound. Getting over to the next game on the schedule, we got a 2:20 Eastern start. It's going to be at Wrigley Field, the LA Dodgers. They are headed to Wrigley Field to take on the Cubs in this game. Bobby Miller gets to start here for the LA Dodgers, and it'll be Kyle Hendricks getting the start for the Chicago Cubs. Currently, as it stands, the Dodgers are a -180. Road favorite here, +150 on the money line for the Chicago Cubbies. Do we see a total of 7 on FanDuel right now? And a lot of that has to do with the wind direction in this game at Wrigley Field. I do see winds blowing from northwest inward around 14 to 15 miles per hour. It'll be a very cold, or not a very cold day, but a cold temperatures day, at least for people considered in Texas at 43 degrees. Might be a normal day for Chicago folks out there, but wind will be a factor in this game here. But Griffin, Dodgers against the Cubbies here, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the Chicagoans are probably ready to take their shirts off at 43 after what probably was a pretty long winter. I don't really know that I have too much I want to do with this one. Kyle Hendricks to me is an unsolvable puzzle. He's really good when I'm not expecting it. He's really bad when I am expecting him to do well. I think the Dodgers can put a lot of pressure on him. Bobby Miller, to me, big, big prospect with a ton of velocity, but hasn't really lived up to expectations. Gets a ton of wins because the Dodgers are great in the regular season. They're built to win regular season games, but I always question them in the playoffs, and he wasn't very good from what I remember in last year's playoffs either. I guess it doesn't matter so much for this matchup. But I think my interest is in over, which doesn't really feel great with a wind blowing in. Because that really, I mean, I've played unders on 14.5 under like totals in Wrigley and lost by a million, and then also seen 6.5s go finish 1-0 because every fly ball was was blown in and knocked down. So I think that the Dodgers probably win this game, but I'll be looking for runs to be scored, maybe a switch of that wind direction, just in case our weather people are not perfect, as they never are.
100% there. I mean, yeah, Kyle Hendricks, his first start was against the Texas Rangers, which is, we know, one of the best offenses and lineups in the league. He gave up 5 earned runs in 3 2/3 of an inning, allowed 2 home runs, also allowed 9 hits, only 2 strikeouts, did have 2 walks in that game. And now you get to go up against the Dodgers offense here that has been clicking on all cylinders here. Bobby Miller looked great in his first start against the Cardinals, 11 strikeouts in just 6 innings pitched there, only allowed 2 hits, 1 walk. The Dodgers did get the victory in that game 6-3 here. So, again, now you have a Dodgers team that's going on the road here that's going to get all 9 at-bats here. So if their team total, again, with the win direction, we'll see. But I think this is a team that can still hit for, I mean, average. It's not all about all power with these guys, especially those 3 guys at the top of the lineup, where Ohtani got his first home run of the season, I believe, on Wednesday night. But these are guys that can hit for average and get on base, and then you're relying on their 4, 5, 6 guys and Will Smith, Max Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez to get those guys home. So I think that's the way the Dodgers have really been manufacturing runs. I know Mookie Betts has came out on fire hitting home runs, but whether or not, again, I think the Dodgers team can put up runs. So I would look at a Dodgers team total over. Not a fan of Kyle Hendricks. He's kind of, you know, started to fall off of the past couple seasons here. The run line price right now, it's at -102, -1.5 for the Dodgers. I would look at it that way. I mean, it's a square play, but again, this Dodgers team has been firing on all cylinders to start the season here, especially on U.S. soil after their 2 games in Seoul, South Korea here. So Dodgers for me here, again, fade the train right now of this Dodgers team. Next game on the schedule, we have a 4:11 Eastern start time between the Tampa Bay Rays. They are in Coors Field to take on the Colorado Rockies. I see Zach Littell is going to get the start here for the Tampa Bay Rays, and Austin Gomber gets the start here for the Colorado Rockies. Rays are a -175 road favorite here, +145 on the money line for the Colorado Rockies. Total is set at 12.5 in this game between these 2 teams. And another game here, I want to mention the wind direction here, Griffin, because currently right now I'm seeing projections of 18-20 miles per hour winds blowing dead to center field in this game. So, I mean, we know with the altitude there and the runs that can be put up at Coors Field, and now you add a huge wind factor in this game. Seeing around 72-degree weather in this game here, right, Griffin? But Rays, Rockies, what are you thinking?
I mean, that sounds like a delightful weather type of forecast. I know they get 300 days of sun in Colorado. You know, it's a time of year where you could back the Rockies if you enjoy torturing yourself. But I feel like this is where they start the year. They seem like they're okay, and then they eventually drift into becoming the Rockies, go on the road, don't hit it all, get blown out all the time. But I guess maybe that's already started so far this season. A little bit of delayed homecoming, I guess, for that opening day. It's probably good for the Rockies, and seems like the weather's going to work out. I'll go over 12.5. Austin Gomber was one of the jewels of the Nolan Arenado deal from St. Louis. Those jewels look more like ring pops at this point. So I'm just not really a believer in what he's been able to do. He's thrown out some good outings in the past, but just is not made very well a left kind of soft tossing lefty to go into Coors Field as your home base for half your starts every year. Zach Littell, he's got some great stuff. I don't think he's going too deep in this game. It's probably a bullpen game for Tampa, and it will probably be a bullpen game, even though it's not meant to be, for Colorado as well. So I'll play over 12.5 here.
Yeah, last season, Austin Gomber, 5-4 at Coors Field, 7.05 ERA. He gave up 59 earned runs and 75 1/3 innings pitched there. Was solid on the road, obviously, when you get away from Coors Field, but now the wind blowing out heavily, pretty decent weather in this game. And the Tampa Bay Rays offense that I can do think that can put up runs. He did have 1 start last year against his Rays team, 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs he gave up in that game, 2 home runs. 2 of the 3 hits that he gave up were home runs. He also did have 4 strikeouts and 2 walks in that game. So, yeah, I agree with you about the over in this game. If you want to look at a first 5 over as well, I think we see runs early in this game. I think the first 5 innings should be around 6, possibly 6.5 in this game, but I mean, don't be surprised after the end of five innings, you're at 8 to 9 runs. I just need a couple more in those, the last half of the innings where the bullpens come in and they'll give up the runs here as well. So agree with Griffin about the over 12.5. And I also do like the first five over in this game here as well. Next game on the schedule here, we'll go to a 4:12 Eastern start. We got the Baltimore Orioles. They are in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. Grayson Rodriguez gets a start here for the Baltimore Orioles, and Jared Jones gets a start here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates are a +120 home underdog in this game, -140 on the money line price for the Baltimore Orioles. Total is set at 8 in this game here. Griffin, what do you think about the Orioles and the surprising start? Well, I don't want to say surprising because they got off to a really good start last year as well, did the Pirates. Then they started to fade, but they are 6-1. This is going to be their home opener for this season, but Orioles and Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Jones, probably one of the darlings the first opening week of baseball. We'll see if he can deliver it against a really good team. I mean, the Orioles seem like they have so much talent in the minors, too much talent there. I don't even know where they can fit them on the major league team. But for major league rosters right now, Grayson Rodriguez, the number one prospect for a long, long time. He seemed like, to me, one of the guys that really was a very profitable bet towards the end of the second half of last season. Initially started the year in the bigs and got hit pretty hard, but came back up. Doesn't seem to, I mean, he throws the ball very, very hard, but doesn't have the strikeout type of, doesn't strike out as many hitters at the major league level as he has in the minors, from what I've witnessed, or at least not to my expectations. I'm pretty interested in Pittsburgh here. They got off to a good start last year, as you certainly mentioned, and I remember as well. And I think that, to me, Baltimore seems a little bit weaker than they had been in the past with Craig Kimbrell, a closer. I don't trust him. Haven't trusted him for a decade, pretty much. And I feel like they're really trying to figure out what that bullpen's going to look like this season. Until I feel like it's worth backing them, and I probably will never feel like it's worth backing them as a -140 favorite on the road or -142 favorite here. Give me Pittsburgh +120. I like the home dog.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, this Pirates team has been off to a fantastic start, 6-1 for the season. Then all their first seven games were all on the road. They've scored 49 runs. That is, I believe, the third most in the National League, only behind the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. Have a +19 run differential, which is the third best as well in the National League. And I want to see what I can get out of Grayson Rodriguez on the road, because last season he was a pitcher that had an ERA above 4, both at home and on the road. Did have a fantastic start against the Angels, where he did strike out 9 batters in that game, I believe. But now you're going up against an offense that is gotten off to a great start here in the Pittsburgh Pirates. So it'll be interesting to see how he does respond in this game against the Pirates here. Jared Jones, like you mentioned, I think that, you know, I haven't really gotten to watch much of him. His first start, 5 2/3 innings, did allow 3 hits, 3 earned runs in that game. 10 strikeouts he did have against 2 walks. But again, I have the hotter team right now. I think I'm going to carry that momentum into their first start here, or first game, I should say, at home at a +120 price here. So money line underdog here for me in this game with you there, Griffin. Next game on the schedule, 4:35 Eastern start, a battle of NL West teams. We got the San Diego Padres. They will be traveling to the Bay Area to take on the San Francisco Giants. Dylan Cease gets a start here for the San Diego Padres, and Jordan Hicks gets a start here for the Giants. Giants are a -122 home favorite, +102 on the money line for the San Diego Padres. Total is set at 7.5 at -118 towards over here, Griffin. And these are two teams, especially if you take a look at the Giants. Traditionally, you don't expect this team to be a team that cashes overs for you, but all 7 of their games this season have all gone over the total. And like I mentioned, for this Padres team, they've scored 52 runs this season, and they've given up 54 runs here as well. So offense is great. Pitching staff, a little bit of a question mark, and maybe a lot of that has to do with the 15 runs that they did give up to the Dodgers in that first series this season here. But nonetheless, Padres, Giants, what are you thinking?
So I'm pretty interested in the home team here. These two teams just played in the home opening series for San Diego after their trip back from Seoul, South Korea. Feels like to me, Dylan Cease, he's always had a really great arm, but even when he was in Chicago and they were actually competing for anything but last place in the AL Central, he had a lot of outings that just seemed to me like he'd have a really bad inning, even if he started really well, or he'd have a bunch of bad innings. And it just seemed like the bad innings were always something that were that was there. It's really tough to go in San Francisco, whether they've been good or not, to get wins at AT&T or whatever park they're calling it now. I'm sure it's changed names 15 times in the last 15 minutes. But just from my perspective, Jordan Hicks has the biggest fastball of starting pitchers that I can remember. And I think he's able to use that, use a big park, keep the ball in the park because it's really hard to hit home runs there anyway. And I just don't know what we're going to get from Dylan Cease. He's finally moved to a new organization. Hopefully San Diego helps him out more than Chicago did. But give me that minus 122, slight enough of a home favorite on San Francisco, who to me was getting a lot more respect in San Diego than I expected. And I think I'm going with the market here.
Yeah, these two teams matched up the first weekend, the opening weekend, or I should say opening week, in San Diego. And these teams split that series 2-2. Dylan Cease and Jordan Hicks actually faced each other in that one game on Saturday where the Giants did get the victory 9-6. But like you mentioned, Jordan Hicks was really good in that game against the Padres. Five shutout innings. He only allowed three hits. Did have six strikeouts in that game. Dylan Cease was, he was okay, 4 2/3. Gave up two earned runs, two walks, and six strikeouts. I feel like this pitch clock has affected Dylan Cease because when I watched him with the White Sox before this pitch clock came out, I mean, he would love to take his time and deliver his pitches. And now with the pitch clock, feels like it may have messed with his rhythm. I mean, he could be used to it by now, obviously having a full season with the pitch clock. But, I mean, that could be something that could factor about the season that Dylan Cease had last year. You mentioned Jordan Hicks. I mean, yeah, he's a guy that can, you know, throw hard, throw, you know, a very fast fastball. I would be interested in a strikeout prop here again if it is around 5.5 or 4.5, 5.5 in that range. I would look at the over for him again. But I can't trust this Padres team, especially where they've given up 54 runs. I think the starting rotation has been bad. The bullpen has been bad as well. And this Giants team, I think we're, like you mentioned, we're still trying to figure it out here. But you mentioned that name always is changing, and now it's changed to Oracle Park.
Thank you.
Where the Giants play. But yeah, Giants here for me as well, minus 122 on the money line price here. Just want to check the weather here as well. And this game has winds that are going to be blowing out to right field around 11 to 14 miles per hour. But again, I would check these wind directions closer to game time. And again, that can always change with Mother Nature. But nonetheless, money line here for me. I also look at a Giants team total over this game here as well. Next game on the schedule here, Griffin, let's get over to a 6:40 Eastern start. We got the one-win New York Mets. They are traveling over to Cincinnati to take on the Reds. Jose Quintana gets a start here for the New York Mets, and Hunter Green gets a start here for the Cincinnati Reds. Reds are a minus 130 price currently over on DraftKings and plus 102 on the price for the New York Mets. Total is set at 9 with a little bit of juice towards the over at minus 112. Talked at volumes about this New York Mets team, how bad of a start they have to the season. Did get their first victory in the second game of the doubleheader against the Detroit Tigers, where they had scored two runs, but this team has mightily struggled generating any type of offense to support the pitching here, or lack thereof here, Griffin. But they are taking on Hunter Green and the Cincinnati Reds here. What are you thinking about this game?
Yeah, I'm still trying to be as much against the New York Mets as possible. It feels like a pretty short price based on payrolls for the Mets. I mean, it's certainly, I think where these teams will be later in the season will be a very different place that I expect the Mets to figure it out at some point. But the pressure is real, and maybe getting out of Citi Field and getting out off the island and getting far away from Queens, maybe that'll help. But I don't really believe in Jose Quintana. He's very good at somehow giving up or limiting hard contact and for a guy that doesn't strike out a lot of batters. But on the other side, Hunter Green has one of the best fastballs in the game, strikes out a million batters, it feels. So I like that setup, especially as a right-handed pitcher against a very right-handed heavy New York Mets lineup. So give me that home favorite, slight home favorite in that Hunter Green, hopefully has a big start if I'm going to back them, because I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I can't put my money on this Mets team right now. 13 runs they have scored through their first seven games of the season. I want to say half of those. Yeah, and half of those I think came in one game, if I'm not mistaken, about this Mets team. So, I think that Hunter Green, I think we talked about this on the last pod or the previous pod that we did, is that I want to see that if he's able to really command his pitches and locate his fastball and his pitches in general, because walks were a huge concern, and that continued in his first start against the Nationals. He did have seven strikeouts, but he also had four walks, and when you give up that many walks, teams are going to be able to take advantage of it. Are the Mets going to be able to do that? I don't trust them to do that right now until I start seeing more from this team. And like you mentioned, Jose Quintana is just a guy that's trying to get you through 4 to 5 innings and then turn it over to the bullpen. But again, right now for this Mets team and how bad of a start they have to the season, I just can't back this team right now. So my money will be on this home team with Hunter Green in the Cincinnati Reds in this game against the New York Mets. And again, they're in a spot as well, right? Coming off of the doubleheader, and they're also having travel to Cincinnati. Yeah. So it could be a tough spot for them as well. Griffin, before we get over to the next games on the schedule, getting into the night games here, a lot of great stuff happening right now on pregame.com. We're starting to see NFL win totals starting pop up. Final Four is this weekend, but obviously the big storyline right now is MLB season in full swing. But what can our listeners take advantage of right now on pregame.com?
Sure. Use the promo code HIT20, good for 20% off for all listeners of this MLB podcast and only listeners of this MLB podcast. You can get a bunch of different type of options across the very different type of handicappers across pregame.com. I am one of those. You can grab my soccer picks. You could grab a year's worth of all my picks, what's left of the college basketball season. And of course, what we have, I think, up to the All-Star break and also full Major League Baseball season. Just throw in that promo code HIT20, good for 20% off anything you purchase on the site. And I think we're throwing in some bulk dollar bonuses as well. You can buy some other. So if you get whatever you buy, you get 20% off that purchase, and you get, I think, a little bit of extra money to throw around as well. Good for 7 days from this podcast release. So you got until the 12th of April, but don't wait and make sure you use it. Hit 20, save 20%, and Munaf and I will get some credit for it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Make sure you guys go over to pregame.com, like Griffin mentioned. Use that promo code HIT20, get 20% off of anything for this for the listeners of this podcast only. All right, Griffin, let's get back into the games here, my man. We've got two NL East teams going to battle here. A 6:45 Eastern start. The Philadelphia Phillies, they are in the nation's capital to take on the Washington Nationals. Aaron Nola getting a start here for the Philadelphia Phillies, and Patrick Corbin gets a start here for the Nationals. Currently, the prices are -185 for the Philadelphia Phillies and +155 on the money line for the home underdog in the Nationals. Total is set at 8.5 in this game, and we are seeing winds blowing from left to right field around 13 miles per hour. It will be decreasing throughout the night there, but another game that has temperatures that are going to be or will be in the 40s in this game here, Griffin. But Phillies, Nationals, what do you think?
Yeah, don't love the weather for an over, but that's probably my biggest interest. Patrick Corbin is literally refusing to retire. I guess he's going to play off that entire contract, big contract he signed. The Nationals are probably begging him to hang up the cleats or put his glove, leave it in on the plane somewhere or something like that. But Aaron Nola also had a pretty bad opening day or for himself, or at least his first start of the season against the Braves. So he gets a lot of class relief here, pitching against one of the worst teams in his division, if not the worst, and one of those teams that's not trying to win so far this year. I'm curious to see how Nola bounces back. I imagine he will have a pretty good start, but I think Corbin is a pretty much batting practice pitcher. He certainly has some good outings in him, but I don't think one of them is coming tomorrow. So give me over 8.5 in that matchup.
Yeah, I think there's a good bounce back here for Aaron Nola against the Nationals. And again, we talk about some of the better offenses, you know, in the league and how much you want to take away for those pitchers that have faced them. It's the Braves, it's the Dodgers, it's the Rangers. I think you could maybe throw the Astros and possibly the Yankees this season is that conversation. But I mean, like you mentioned, like Patrick Corbin's out there just throwing batting practice. I mean, you take a look at his last, I'm going to date this down here against the Phillies. So Patrick Corbin since 2021 has 9 appearances against this Philadelphia Phillies team, 1-6 with a 7.11 ERA. His last start was back on August 10th of last season, which was his best start, where he did have 5 innings, gave up 1 hit. And it was a weird start, Griffin, because he had 7 walks in that game and just the Phillies weren't able to capitalize. But prior to that, he had allowed at least 4 earned runs in 7 straight starts against this Phillies team. So, yeah, it's the Phillies here for me. I do think that he bounces back in Aaron Nola. If you want to take a look at the run line in this game, you get the Phillies that get all 9 at-bats. Again, if you want to go first 5 run line for the Phillies, I don't hate that. You know, Griffin mentioned the total in this game to go over. I think the Phillies probably do majority of that scoring, so a Phillies team total over in this game here as well. So, you know, stack up the Phillies in this game against Patrick Corbin and the Nationals. Next game on the schedule here, we'll go to a 7:20 Eastern start. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they are in Atlanta to take on the Braves. Tommy Henry gets a start here for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Spencer Strider gets a start here for the Braves. Braves, an overwhelming minus 270 on the money line, plus 220 for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Total is set at 8.5 in this game. Not much of weather in this game. There are winds blowing out around 12 miles per hour to start the game. It dies down a little bit to around 8 to 9 miles per hour. But again, I would check that closer to game time. But I think maybe something to reference as we talk about these games. But Spencer Strider here at home against the Diamondbacks. You give them a chance here, Griffin?
I'll give Spencer Strider a chance. Yeah. clearly is a gigantic favorite. I think he was supposed to pitch, I want to say on Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, but rainouts got in the way. So, he should be pretty well oiled. I wouldn't call him rusty early in the season. I think it's probably a really good situation for him to come in after a really good start against Philadelphia as well. Arizona's decent. I think they probably make this a competitive game. I don't know how much I trust. I think it's Tommy Henry. Tough to line up as a lefty that doesn't throw very hard against that murderer's row of an Atlanta offense. So I think I will try to somehow thread the needle here, go under 8.5. Certainly would love if that total ticked up to 9 so you could push if it ends 5-4 or something like that, 6-3, 7-2. But I think Strider does enough. I'm not sure how much Atlanta's going to push him to go like 8 innings, let's say. So maybe 6, and then we go for an Atlanta bullpen ride for 3 innings or so. But I think Arizona can hang in this one relatively close. At least don't let Atlanta go over themselves. And Strider throws another good outing as he looks like one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, I think the part that makes me nervous about Tommy Henry is that his first start at home was against the Rockies. And he allowed 5 earned runs in that game in just 4 innings to that Rockies team on the road. Did have 4 strikeouts, 2 walks in that game. But now you're going up against the Atlanta Braves. Again, like we mentioned, one of the better offenses in the league. Hasn't had a start against the Braves in his career. Spencer Strider last season did have 2 starts against this Diamondbacks team. And he did give up a few runs in those games. But his last start was back on July 20th. Of the 2023 year, and he did have 13 strikeouts in that game for the Atlanta Braves in that game in 6 innings. Hasn't gone past the 6 innings in any of his 3 career starts against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I this is a pitcher like we talked about with Kikuchi and that was other left-hand, Jose Quintana,
yeah.
Patrick Corbin. I think Tommy Henry kind of fits that mold. It's just in a bad spot here going up against this offense in the Atlanta Braves. So I'll look at the Braves again. First five team total to go over. That number is probably going to be at 2.5 with heavy juice. I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a 3.5 at some plus money odds. But again, I think this lineup for the Braves, I think they can get to Tommy Henry early here. Maybe the bullpen gives it up a couple back to the Arizona Diamondbacks, because we've seen, especially last season, the team that doesn't, you know, quit very easily. So indeed. I do like the Braves to put up some runs in this game here. So I would look at a team total over in this game for the Atlanta Braves. Getting over to the next game on the schedule here is going to be a battle of AL Central teams, the 7:40 Eastern start. The Chicago White Sox, they are in Kansas City to take on the Royals. Eric Fetty gets a start here for the Chicago White Sox, and Brady Singer is on the mound here for the Kansas City Royals. Royals are a -185 home pit with a take back price of +155 for the Chicago White Sox. Total is set at 8.5 here in this game here, Griffin. And the White Sox have already been without Eloy Jimenez for four games here, considering him day to day, but I think he's probably headed more for the IL this early in the season. But I mean, this White Sox team, it's not looking very good right now. I'll just say that very lightly, but they are taking on the Royals here. What are your thoughts on this game?
I'll say it loudly. I was watching the game tonight, 2-1, with some runners on base, key error. All of a sudden, next day I looked up and I think it was 8-1 and ended up finishing 10-1. So I feel like we kind of got an undeserved over tonight. You could argue that maybe Kansas City deserved to give up a few more runs. I think Seth Lugo had four double plays in his six innings of work, at least when I started to tune out a little bit. I think this is a really tough spot for the White Sox, just that this whole season will be. Eric Fetty, I mean, he's had some great outings in his career that was completely unexpected, but is really not a good pitcher. So Brady Singer, he said he'd kind of worked on his pitches or his style or kind of what he's throwing, because he kind of sucked last year, I think is a direct quote, which is hilarious. But I think with this total at 8.5 in a really good park for under, because it's really hard to hit home runs there, I'll go under 8.5 or under first five, probably will look like a 4.5 there.
Yeah, I mean, this White Sox team through the first six games has only scored 12 runs. They've given up 32. The Royals, the pitching has been, but this offense has just not been able to carry them. Like you mentioned, because of a couple of errors, they scored, what, 8 runs in that seventh inning against this White Sox team. So, I like the under in this game. I think that I want to see the Royals be more consistent offensively before I can, you know, either get behind their team total overs or even frankly going over on their game totals. This White Sox team, like I mentioned, 12 runs scored through their first six games. So I just don't have great confidence in this White Sox offense. So under, I'm with you on that. I would lean on a run line here for the Royals as well. You know, we could see possibly like a 4-1, 5-2 type of victory here for the Kansas City Royals behind Brady Singer. So I would definitely look at it that way in this game. Next game on the schedule here at 8:05 Eastern start, we have the rematch of the American League Championship Series between the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers. I'm going to try to bully Griffin into getting out to one of these ball games here. But we've got Hunter Brown on the mound here for the Houston Astros, and Cody Bradford gets a start here for the Texas Rangers. Right now, the Astros are a road favorite of -135. +114 on the money line for the Texas Rangers. Total is set at 9.5, with juice towards the under at -115. And Griffin, these two teams obviously being in the AL West, I was just curious to see how these two teams did last season against each other. And it was runs galore last season between these two teams, because in the 20 games that they did play last season, the over was 13-6-1, something that could probably continue in this weekend series with these two pitchers starting it off here. But what are your thoughts on this Astros and Rangers game?
Yeah, you don't have to bully me. Anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you have an extra ticket, I will gladly show up. The only problem is I'm going to Phoenix for the Final Four this weekend, so I will not be back. I mean, maybe Sunday night, if there's a Sunday night game, I might have a chance to get there. I don't think so, because we're recording anyway. But I think this series actually goes through Monday, so that's what I'll hope for. Anyone with a Monday ticket specifically, hand it out and your boy will show up. But as for this matchup on Friday night, Hunter Brown got a lot of pedigree, a lot of respect from a lot of people talking about who he will be as a pitcher in the Astros organization. I think he only went four innings in his first start of the season. Yeah. So it feels like there's not a lot of length that he's going to offer, which means bullpen game, which certainly plays in to that over potential. And I'm not surprised by the overs. I was expecting you to read off like a team wins, like how many did the Rangers grab, how many did the Astros grab last season. And I feel like this series, and it's just very interesting, the year-by-year trends, I feel like it kind of goes where one team will dominate for a lot of the year. I felt like the Astros were that exactly that way. I think first series of the year last year, I remember it pretty closely because I've got a bunch of big Ranger fan friends. And I think the Rangers went to Houston, controlled a series, won 3 out of 4. And then the Astros repaid the favor with a big sweep in Arlington when things were starting to look like they were crumbling for the Texas Rangers. And then we go to the playoffs. And of course, the Rangers, I think, got through in 7 games. At least I know they got the World Series beating the Astros. I'm not exactly sure of the number of games, but I thought it was a game 7. I think I was staying up super late in Italy watching that. Really bad timing for me to be out of the country. But anyway, I think for this matchup, Cody Bradford came up and looked like he was not a Major League Baseball's level pitcher, but then kind of settled in, had a decent first start. And I feel like there's some big problems with injuries for Texas. I mean, they're replacing their first baseman right now with Nathaniel Lowe has not made his season debut yet. Unfortunately, Josh Jung just broke his wrist and is out 8 to 10 weeks. So he's seemingly very unlucky. Broke his thumb, I think, on a ground ball last year. It's just incredible how that all works. But it might be that Houston's catching the Texas Rangers at a really nice time where Texas is really banged up. But I'm very interested in the home underdog here. I think Bradford can hang around. I think we have questions about Houston, certainly at home. But this is their first series away from the juice box. So I'm just not sure a pitcher who's probably going 5 innings at best should deserve to lay this type of price. So give me the home underdog plus 114.
Yeah, Hunter Brown actually has 3 appearances against the Rangers in his career, and all 3 have in starts. He had 2 last season, but 11 innings pitched last year. He allowed 15 hits, 5 earned runs in that span to the Rangers. 5 strikeouts and 6 strikeouts. And like you mentioned, right, I think that I want to see Hunter Brown getting to the 5th inning, the 6th inning. Fee is going to be the next guy and a face of this rotation for the Astros going forward into the future. They've kind of deemed him, or not deemed him, but their comparisons of him being Verlander 2.0, because you kind of look at their delivery, it's very, very similar between Verlander and Hunter Brown. But going back to last season, the Astros were actually 12-8 straight up in that 20-game division series, at least during the regular season. And, you know, you mentioned that last year did go to 7 games in that ALCS where the Rangers just blew out the Astros heading to the World Series to eventually win the World Series title. And in that series, the over was actually 5-1-1. And I keep on mentioning the over because I just feel like we'll see runs in this series again. Yeah, again, Corey Bradford, he has had 8 appearances. That's all been out of the bullpen. So he hasn't had a full start against his Astros team. He hasn't actually faced his Astros team. Well, let me double check this because I have the wrong name up here. Let's see here. I'll get that corrected. But again, Corey Bradford, again, like you mentioned.
Corey, my bad. I might have said Cody. That might be my fault.
No, you're. Oh, let me double check here. Cody is the name. You're correct. So Cody Bradford, excuse me.
Yeah.
His first start was against the Chicago Cubs, and he went 5 innings in that game, allowed 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. But again, I just feel like when these two offenses match up, you know, we'll see runs being produced. He did have one appearance where he did go 5 innings last year against Astros team, gave up 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 of them, which were home runs. But I say all that again, the Astros away from home, we know what they did last season. They've already started struggling at home this season where they dropped 5 of their first 7 home games. But I would be with you here on the home underdog as well. But I do think we end up seeing runs. Could we start seeing the tide turning here a little bit where the Rangers may be, you know, getting sometimes you get those blows against the big brother because the Astros have been that big brother against the Rangers. Maybe that tide is starting to turn a little bit here. But I say all that, yeah, I would lean towards the money line price here for the Rangers, but I do expect to see runs in this game between these two lineups.
I'm very surprised you didn't. I thought you were setting us up, buttering us up for an overplay after a dominant over series last year. I'm surprised, but you know, there's always room on this side of the boat, Munaf.
maybe we'll see. I want this Astros team right now with strike, but again, if this offense breaks out, it's usually on the road, as we saw last season. So I mean, again, we'll be surprised if we see a 11-9 final score between these two teams. Absolutely not. Sure. Two games left here on the schedule for Friday here, Griffin. Let's get over to the Seattle Mariners. They are visiting the Milwaukee Brewers. Logan Gilbert gets a start here for the Mariners, and Freddy Peralta is on the mound here for the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers are a -125 home favorite, +105 on the money line for the Mariners. Total is set at 7. Freddy Peralta, his first start last week, to start the season, came against the New York Mets. Not sure how much we want to take away. He did give up an early solo home run to, I believe it was Starling Marte, because I was watching this game because I had a strikeout prop on Freddy Peralta. Yeah. He did finish that game with 8 strikeouts, 6 innings he did go in that game. And like I mentioned, the only hit that he did give up was that home run to Starling Marte. On the other side here with Logan Gilbert. And when I look at a lot of these pitchers here, Griffin, for this Mariners team, it's that they've done really well at home. But the one part where they do struggle, especially a guy like Logan Gilbert, is actually on the road. I mean, last year, or it's been the opposite for Logan Gilbert. I'm sorry. Kirby's the guy that does really well at home. On the road last year, Gilbert was actually 8-2 with a 3.40 ERA. At home last year, 4-5 with a 4.10 ERA. He did have a great first start this season. I believe that was against the Boston Red Sox this season. Yeah, 7 innings, 4 hits. He allowed 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts in this game. I would probably go back to a under in this game. I think we could, or a first 5 under as well. I think we probably see a pitcher's duel between Gilbert and Peralta. Couldn't talk you off the strikeout props either. If you want to, you know, if you're a same game parlay type of better, I think the strikeout props would be a very, very good bet in this game. I do have, I think I mentioned this last time, is that Freddy Peralta to have the most strikeouts this season. That's off to a pretty good start here. So my lean or my bet here, Griffin, is going to be the under 7 and a first 5 under here as well. What are your thoughts on this game?
So I'm pretty interested in the home favorite here. Seattle, to me, they've usually been a team that stacks up a bunch of wins at home. I was pretty disappointed by their ending to the Cleveland series. Now they go pretty far away from home to Milwaukee, and I think it's going to be a tough kind of wake-up call for a really weak lineup that's been a big problem in the past that I feel like has only gotten weaker. I feel like I'm surprised at seeing what they're putting out there in their starting lineup at this point. It hasn't hurt them so bad yet, especially because they've been at home. The Red Sox came in, I think, split, and then they lost the home series to the Cleveland Guardians after winning the first one. And I just don't really like that setup. Logan Gilbert has been one of my favorite pitchers to back years and years and years. And I think you outlined his road performance as a great way to do that. I don't think that necessarily changes. I'm not sure Milwaukee's got a great lineup either. But I'm mostly worried about Logan Gilbert and his ability to strike batters out. I think that's his kind of next step he needs to take to be a potential Cy Young Award type of pitcher. I saw him in Seattle last year, and he's awesome. But he, to me, just doesn't strike out enough batters. He had a pretty good debut, striking out 8 and 7 innings. But I looked into his stats from last year, and he had a pretty low 35% of his starts, 31 starts in the year. He struck out more than one batter per inning. And basically started out the season where that's where he was doing most of it. Then as this kind of got towards later in the year, maybe June, late May, he stops kind of striking out as many batters. Now that might not impact him so much here, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of strikeouts on the Seattle side. So I like secure position, especially what a great draw for Freddy Peralta to potentially try to lead the league in strikeouts, and he gets a great team to do it at home. And to me, it feels like Seattle's bullpen, they're known for a great bullpen, but they've got a lot of kind of moving parts that I think they're trying to figure out roles for. Milwaukee, you could say the same, but they've got big arms, they're bullpen savants as well. And I feel like they've already established a bullpen just to start this year with a lot of chances saving games against the New York Mets. So give me that Milwaukee price at home. I feel like it should be bigger. That minus 125 is small enough for me.
Yeah, and you already take a look this season. I think you hit the nail on the head here, Griffin, is that this Seattle team, I mean, is they're already leading the league in team strikeout percentage against right-handed pitching. They're at 32.8% and just overall also occupying that number one spot at 30.6%. And I do see a strikeout prop listed right now for Freddy Peralta. It's at 7.5, but it's at minus 155. So if you want to take that up to maybe 9-10, that he does get into double digits here, get you a better price. I don't hate that because I do think that Peralta does have success striking out here. So I would be with you here as well, Griffin, for this money line price on the Brewers. And again, a little bit of an underwhelming start here for the Mariners, where they've only scored 17 runs and they already have a minus 14 run differential right now in their first seven games, which are all at home for the Seattle Mariners.
So let me ask you this, Munaf. I'm not really a strikeout prop better. I know that that's a really popular thing. I see it on MLB Network a lot. 7.5 feels like a pretty high number, but then to be juiced at minus 155, that, I mean, we're saying that probably to get even like relatively normal odds, we're saying 8.5 or 9.5. Like that feels like a gigantic number for a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and I think it's also the fact that maybe the books have caught on that the Mariners are a team that strike out a lot, and also maybe the name of Freddy Peralta as well, because you know, his first start, he did have 8 strikeouts against this Mets team, but last year I want to say he had north of 200 strikeouts, so he is a strikeout pitcher. So I'm trying to see if I can go back last year and just quickly see how many strikeouts he did have here. 210 strikeouts last year and 165 and 2/3 innings pitched. So, you know, you'll see those type of taxes on guys like Freddy Peralta. Spencer Strider is another name that you'll see that 8.5 number on, with, you know, at a minus 110 price and a number like that. Hunter Green, just for reference, is at 7.5 at plus 125 as well. So I think the books know that the Mariners are a team that, as a team, strike out a lot, and going up against a pitcher like Freddy Peralta, I think that's kind of where, you know, the price comes in right now at 7.5. But essentially, like you mentioned there, Griffin, it's pretty much 8.5, probably around even money or maybe a plus price on Freddy Peralta. So we'll see where he ends up on a strikeout prop in this game against the Seattle Mariners. All right, Griffin, last game on the schedule. We're going to go over to let's get back to my odd screen here. The Boston Red Sox, they are in LA, headed to the West Coast to take on the Angels. 9:38 Eastern start. We've got Cutter Crawford on the mound here for the Boston Red Sox, and Griffin Canning gets a start here for the LA Angels. Angels a slight home favorite here of minus 112, minus 108 on the money line price for the Boston Red Sox. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here. Griffin and the Red Sox off to a really good start here. They're continuing their start on the road, as this will be their third series, but they are 5-2 to start the season here. Angels did take care of business against the Marlins, but who's not doing that at least to start the season here? But nonetheless, the Red Sox against the Angels. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I guess the you call them the barnstorming Red Sox, the nomads maybe. I mean, it's been a long time they've been on that wrong coast. But, I mean, it's been working out for them. I guess when you get to play Oakland, that certainly helps. And maybe a Seattle team that might be taking a step backward this season. Cutter Crawford got a lot of hype coming into the year, especially I think in the fantasy community. We'll see how that goes. Griffin Canning, I promise I'm not biased because he's generally a pitcher I like to be against. He seems to have made it to the big leagues with a really hard fastball, and I don't really know how much else he has. So that's not enough, unfortunately, to get the major league level hitters. They can hit the straight stuff, unfortunately. So I think I'm looking at Boston here. The price right now is pretty much pick 'em, which doesn't give me a lot of comfort, I got to say. But I'm not sure I'm a believer in Boston, but I'm certainly not a believer in the Angels and their current record and the start they got off to. Of course, they were in a really tough place to start on the road at Baltimore. I think opening up the entire season, at least for games played in the United States of America, but then took care of business on a road trip to Miami. I think they're off to a slightly better start than anyone expected. And I think it's reflected in the price here. So I'll be looking forward to seeing Boston maybe catching some plus money at some point. It might not get there. And of course, we are making picks on current lines. So I'll give Cutter Crawford -108 at DraftKings. But that's the side I want. I'm looking to see and maybe there's some better chances maybe later in the series to play Boston against the Angels.
Yeah, I think, again, like you mentioned, with Griffin Canning's tough start to this season here, where he, again, it was against the Baltimore Orioles. He did allow 5 earned runs in 5 innings, 7 hits in that game against the Baltimore Orioles. 2 strikeouts, so only 1 walk in that game. And, you know, we were just talking about the Seattle Mariners, where Cutter Crawford had 7 strikeouts against that Mariners team in just 6 innings pitched. And he had a great outing, didn't allow any earned runs here. So, surprisingly to me, the Red Sox are off to a great start here. I was a little bit down on this team just because of their pitching rotation. But I think this is a good spot here for the Red Sox. Like you mentioned, they are the slight underdog here, essentially a pick 'em here at -108, currently over on DraftKings, like Griffin mentioned there. But you can also get a -102 price right now over on FanDuel, even a better price for the Red Sox if you want to be on that side here. But yeah, it would be the Red Sox here for me. I need to see more out of Griffin Canning before I do consider, you know, putting my money on him in this Angels team right now. But yeah, Red Sox off to a great start this season on their little West Coast road trip here to start the season, which started with, like we mentioned, the A's going up to Seattle and now to LA to take on the Angels. That is the last game of the Friday card here, Griffin. Let's get into our best bets for the Friday night card here before we wrap it up. My friend, you want to lead us off?
Love to. Also want to mention an MLB contest at pregame. Free chance to win $1,000 cash. You got to beat Andre Gomes. He had a huge year last year, 54.06. So won over 54 units at pregame, better than my 18.3. So I guess I got someone to catch up to as well. I'll be doing my own beat Andre Gomes contest myself, my own picks. But unfortunately, I can't win that $1,000 cash. So make sure you go sign up. I guess you win 500 cash if you are the best. If you beat Andre Gomes last year total, then you get another 500. So that's where the 1,000 cash comes in. Go to premium.com, click on the contest, and find the Beat Andre Gomes MLB contest. Sign up, don't wait, and go, I guess, try to embarrass one of our other pregame.com members. And at least it won't be me, hopefully. But I'm playing for it too. So keep an eye out. I'm going for 54.07 this season is my plan. As for my best bet for this Friday episode, Munaf, I'm going to go with those San Francisco Giants, Los Gigantes, a -122 favorite at DraftKings right now. Jordan Hicks against a very questionable Dylan Cease. You might be onto it. Maybe the pitch clock was a really bothersome thing for him. I just feel like his inability to control the strike zone has always been there. And maybe having 18 seconds versus 20 seconds versus unlimited time is something that could throw him off. And we know that pitchers are creatures of habit, and it seems like anything can throw him off at this point. I like San Francisco at home. I think their bullpen's better. I think this price is too short, especially after seeing how much respect they got at San Diego in that earlier series to start off the United States schedule for San Diego. So give me San Francisco -122 on Friday afternoon.
Love it. Couldn't talk you off of that. Love the Giants in that spot against the Padres. I'm going to go over to the game between the Phillies and the Nationals, and I'm just going to fade Patrick Corbin here. I think this is a good bounce-back spot here for Aaron Nola coming off the start against the Atlanta Braves. Again, one of the best offenses in the league. But you take a look at what Patrick Corbin has done against his Phillies team since the 2022 season, and 5 starts, 0-5 straight up, 0-5 against the run line there. So I'm going to be on the Phillies run line in this game, -1.5. That's currently -113 over on FanDuel. And I'll quickly just read off the 5 final scores in those games against the Phillies by Patrick Corbin here, Griffin. So 10-1, 11-5, 5-3, 8-1 and 6-2. So the Phillies have scored at least five runs. They're averaging eight runs against Patrick Corbin in those starts, outscoring the Nationals by 5.6 runs here. So I think good bounce back here for Aaron Nola. I'm going to continue fading Patrick Corbin against this Phillies team. My best bet, give me the Phillies -1.5, -113 right now. Currently over on FanDuel for the Phillies against Patrick Corbin and the Nationals. Eric Griffin, any thoughts on that one?
Well, none of those results seem to be a one-run differential. So I feel like with an undefeated run line, I hope the streak continues. The nice part about streaks is they only end once, but they could go on forever.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. So hopefully it's another 2-0 pod for us for this Friday night card here. Feel good about our picks here. I think we did a great job breaking down the card for the Friday night, or let's say Friday schedule in the MLB. But Griffin, anything else you want to mention, my friend, before we get out of here?
Not. We'll see all you listeners on Sunday night. Make sure you use that promo code HIT20, good for 20% off. And our bosses like us a little bit more if we do it. Plus, I don't know, maybe they'll give us a third episode coming up later this summer if we get enough of you users using our free 20%. If you're going to spend the money anyway, go drop it in there, save 20%, and give us some credit for it. So use HIT20, and we'll see you all Sunday night for a Monday card.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Again, Final Four this weekend. But I will be paying attention to the Diamond for sure. A lot of great series this weekend to cap off the first full week of MLB season. All right, like Griffin mentioned there, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday for the Monday card. Good luck with your bets this weekend. Let's break these books off, and we'll talk to you guys down the road.